Look, Matt, I'll give I'll provide my best endeavours, but it is a complex case, and it has played out over a number of years now. But essentially, this last hearing in court was focused around the quantum argument. So the losses and the damages suffered as a result of the decision to ban the trade. The liability argument has already been had. That was in July 2017. Yep. So this we initially had a court date set down for 3 weeks. So we were able to wrap that up in under 2 weeks. So it's really been an efficient use of the court's time, and really, in all fairness, it's through negotiation and consultation with both parties that we've been able to get through it in a shorter period of time.
So the court heard from the cattle industry and what the ban meant to it and businesses in the north. Did you hear from the other side at all and sort of get any insight into what led to the certain decisions that were made at the time?
A certain amount of insight, but really not enough. Every opportunity was given to put the former minister on the stand to provide some evidence in relation to what he was thinking and really what was running through his mind. So misfeasance really goes to the thought process of the minister at the time that he made the decision. So ultimately, we would have liked to have heard from the minister. Only he can speak.
This is Joe Ludwig.
This is Joe Ludwig, the minister at the time who had the responsibility of making the decision. We would have liked to have heard from him. So in the absence of the minister, and provided there were multiple opportunities for the minister to appear, one can only presume that it wasn't to the respondent's best interest to have the minister appear and give evidence. So we don't believe it was the best thing for their case, so they decided not to call him as a witness.
What sort of witnesses were called by the defence?
So, as I mentioned before, this case was around quantum and the losses that were borne by the northern businesses in Australia. So Brett Cattle Company are the lead applicants. So the case was focused just around their losses and the processes that occurred in the lead up to and immediately after the ban and some months after. So as part of that and as part of in order to prove the loss and damages, the court's required to consider the counterfactual, so the hypothetical situation of what would have occurred but for the ban. So right. We contested that there were two hypothetical or counterfactual scenarios that existed. The first one is the first control order that was in place, which we contest was the right decision by the minister. So essentially, the trade continued but for the 12 abattoir that were featured in the Four Corners story.
Allowed trade to continue to facilities such as the one that was owned by Elders, for example.
Correct. Yeah. So really that played out in our second counterfactual. So there were two. The first one was the first control order, essentially, and the second one was that trade to Indonesia be restricted but be allowed to continue through the appropriate supply chains that were compliant with appropriate slaughter practices, with appropriate control and being able to trace the movement of the animals and also compliant with OIE, animal welfare standards. And as we know, there were a number of those businesses or supply chains operating at the time. So we heard from our side, we heard from representatives from Elders and a feedlot business and a business with some Indonesian partnership and ownership. So those that were operating in a manner that were compliant with acceptable standards at the time. The respondents called the Secretary of the Department at the time,
right.
Dr. Connell O'Connell, and also the Chief Veterinary Officer, Dr. Mark Shipp. So we heard from Dr. O'Connell, and essentially he was providing information in relation to the advice that had been given. So at that point, the respondents appeared to want to go back to the liability argument that we'd had the year prior, and we objected to that, but it really was around some oral evidence that Dr. O'Connell provided to Minister Ludwig on the morning prior to the ban. So there was a bit of back and forth and conjecture in relation to that point.
Okay.
The second witness, Dr. Mark Shipp, was the Chief Veterinary Officer at the time, and essentially he was a witness for the Commonwealth, and he was talking about SCAS and how that was developed as a result of the ban. But there were plans of an assurance model in place, but not to the full extent of the SCAS that we know today.
Did the judge make any comments? Has anything been said that gives you a sense of where, you know, the result might be heading?
Yes. So Justice Rary is presiding over the case. Look, it's very difficult to know entirely, but we believe that he understands the nature and the substance of the case that we're presenting. He has a strong understanding of the industry, of live export, of the operating environment. He also has a strong understanding of the commercial realities of doing business. And one point which was a standout moment for me is that the judge certainly expressed a level of exasperation as to the Commonwealth's inability to seemingly grasp some of the concepts around business and commercial activities that are undertaken.
Is the $600 million in compensation still on the cards?
So the exact quantum is still yet to be determined. So this quantum argument was directly focused on Brett Cattle Company and their losses, and we've agreed to some fundamental components of that. So on conclusion, we've agreed to a number of categories of loss, so different losses depending on what the categories were, whether it be freight or loss of value in the selling price, etc. And essentially, we've also agreed that the losses borne just by the Brett Cattle Company alone was close to $3 million. So the Commonwealth have conceded that, and they've agreed that those losses have in fact occurred. So the next,
and in terms of that $600 million, what becomes of it?
So the $600 million is the best estimate that's been able to be pulled together with the information that we're aware of. We believe that there could be in the vicinity of 300 members of the class action. It's still open. It isn't closed. And there will be a point in the not too distant future where we'll be sort of really encouraging people, if they haven't got their paperwork in, to get it in. And of course, we won't know how this is going to proceed until the judgment is handed down. And we expect that to be, Justice Rose is a very efficient judge, and he's certainly proven in the past that he works through his judgments quite quickly. Although this is a very complex case, there's volumes and volumes of information and evidence before him that he needs to take the time to carefully consider. It's a precedent and landmark case, so there'll be, I would expect, a lot of time taken. So
okay.
We're of the understanding that the judgment will be handed down sometime in the new year.
Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.